Hey there, this is Brian Zond, and welcome to my sermon podcast. I'm glad that you're interested in the sermons that I preach here at Word of Life Church in St. Joseph, Missouri. And if you ever feel inclined to help us by supporting us financially, you can do that at our website, WOLC.com. Thank you. All right, Finding God on Your iPod. The name is outdated, but I think of it, it's like 20th Century Fox. It's outdated, but they're still making movies. And so I thought about changing the name, but I thought if I change the name, everybody will go, what's that? And I'll tell them, oh, you mean Finding God on Your iPod. So we're just sticking with an outdated name because you know what it is. Finding God on Your iPod is my attempt to locate the intersection of faith and music in a contemporary setting. The poetic and the prophetic are related, and the modern day poets are mostly music artists. So some of the artists that I choose are believers and some are not, but all are producing worthy art. Music is a huge importance in my life. I mean, I know a lot of us feel that way, but I mean, I really feel that way. You can ask Perry, it's a big deal to me. Nietzsche said, without music, life would be a mistake. I don't always agree with Nietzsche, but I agree with that. Without music, life would be a mistake. And so, to be honest, I just love doing Finding God on Your iPod. I think of it as, you know, something I was just meant to do. That I can take these two, my love of Jesus and Scripture and Christian faith and my love for music, and put them together. And it's the 10th year that we've done this. 10th year. And so we've done 9 seasons. Now we're back for our 10th season of Finding God on Your iPod. We have, I think it's 58, something like that, 58 songs that I've worked with, and you can find them on I've created a Spotify playlist of all of those. I call it Finding God on Your iPod Anthology. It's like we've got a box set now. And so if you're into Spotify, you can find that playlist like that. I remember the first one. The very first one was Laughing With by Regina Spektor. And we've done it for 9 seasons, this being the 10th. The last one from the last track from last year was Broken Halos by Chris Stapleton. And they're all on that Spotify playlist. I want to give you the 5 rules. There are 5 rules. You probably didn't know this. The 5 rules for finding God on your iPod. Number one, I pick the songs. That's the first rule. I pick the songs. I work on it all year long. It isn't like I just, you know, started, my gosh, I've got to find some songs, and I started last week. No, I work all week, all year long. I'm thinking about what I'm going to pick. Rule number 2, I have to like the song. That's how inspiration. Now, you can make suggestions, but it's probably not going to work. I mean, maybe, but there have been a few times when people have suggested a song, and I went with it, but usually, no. I pick the song, and I have to like it, because that's how inspiration works. If it doesn't move me, if I don't really like the song, then nothing's really going to happen. This year, as I was creating what I do is when I encounter a song that I think, oh, that has potential. I like that song. That has potential. I put it in a private, secret, not public access Spotify playlist called Finding God on Your iPod Ideas. You can't find that one. That one's private. And I collected 12, and I had to get it down to 6 this year. It was really hard to, because there were 6 good songs I cut out. I will tell you the 6 that didn't make it, not this Sunday, but at some point I'll tell you. Rule number 3, the song has to be from the past year. I'm picking songs, you know, that are, because the whole vast ocean of music would just be, I don't know, I don't want to do it that way. I want it to be contemporary. I want it to be fresh. Okay, this is happening now. So rule number 3, the song has to be from the past year. Rule number 4, I can break rule number 3 if I want to. And I do now and then. In fact, this year I'm going to break it once. I think on the fourth week, maybe, and I'll explain to you why. It'll be obvious why I broke that rule. And rule number five, the song has to inspire me in some way to preach about Jesus. I don't force it. I mean, it just has to happen. I mean, I love Zeppelin. Come on now. I love me some Led Zeppelin. But I just haven't ever really been able to get a song that, you know, that makes me want to preach about Jesus. Black Dog, but, you know, it just doesn't work, you know. And so those are the five rules. So who's our artist? First artist, first track, 2018, 10th season. It's a first-time artist, Jack Johnson. Anybody know Jack Johnson? There's Jack. Jack is a singer-songwriter, surfer, a serious surfer. He probably is as good a surfer as he is a musician. He's surfing is a big deal in his life, but he's also a fine singer-songwriter. I think of his music as laid-back, acoustic, cool. That's my description. What's his music? Laid-back, acoustic, cool. It's the kind of stuff you would listen if you're in Hawaii or on the island somewhere or on a beach. It's laid-back, acoustic, cool. I like it. He says that his influences, I mean, they ask him, well, who has really influenced you? And he said, Bob Dylan. Okay, that's some cred right there. Jimi Hendrix and Radiohead. Even though his music sounds like none of those artists. It doesn't sound like Dylan, doesn't sound like Jimi Hendrix, doesn't sound like Radiohead, but he's got his own thing, and it's good. He's made 7 studio albums. 4 of them have gone to number 1. So, you know, he's a major, he's not some obscure guy. He's had 4 of his 7 albums have gone to number 1. And he had an album that came out last September, All the Light Above It 2. That's the name of the album, All the Light Above It 2. That's the album. And I heard the song that I've chosen is track 4 from that album. The song is called My Mind Is For Sale. I heard this song last September. And, I mean, that was we just finished Finding God on Your iPod 2017, and I heard that song on the radio. There it is. There's my first pick. And I put that was the first entry into that file for the ideas for this year. And I somehow just knew that was never going to get bumped. That song I knew was going to make it to Fugoyab. That's what I call Finding God on Your iPod. That's the what's that? The acronym. Fugoyab. I said it's going to make it to Fugoyab. And I also somehow just knew it was going to be the first track too. So anyway, well, let's just see. Here's the song, Jack Johnson. My Mind Is For Sale.
Well, I heard the blinkers on. I heard we're changing lanes. I heard he likes to race. I heard that 6 or 7 words he likes to use are always in bad taste. And I heard that Monday's just a word we say every 7 times around, and then we pin the tail on Tuesday, watch those strings go up and down. And the elephant in the room begins to dance, the camera zoom into his mouth begins to move. Those hateful words he uses. I don't care for your paranoid, us against them walls. I don't care for your careless, me first, gimme appetite and all. For sale, it's all been subdivided. Divided into reasons why my 2 opposing thoughts at once are fine. And the residue from the price tag on the tip of my tongue, words don't come, they go. How many likes I gotta get? For I know the truth, and the truth is season 3 will be a great. great reason to forget all about. Reality's a slippery slope. Watch the TV scream and shout. I don't care for your paranoia. Us against them fearful kind of walls. I don't care for your careless. Me first, give me appetite at all. Space. I heard that six or seven words are in bad taste. It's absurd to believe that we might deserve anything as if it's balanced in the end. And the good guys always win. I don't care for your paranoia. Us against them fearful kind of walls. I don't care for your careless. Me first, give me appetite with the residue from the price tag on those two opposing thoughts in my mind. Us against them fearful kind of walls.
That song's got a good hook. It's the hook that brings you back. I don't care for your paranoid, us against them fearful kind of walls. I don't care for your careless, me first, give me appetite. With the residue from the price tag on those two opposing thoughts in my mind, us against them fearful kind of walls. I like that song. These are the thoughts of what the Apostle Paul calls the old man. In Romans 6:6, he talks about the old man. We all have that old man living inside of us. This, the old man, that's Paul's metaphor for the corrupt nature. The nature that is before Christ, the nature that has not been renewed by Christ, the old man. The old self, really, but I like to, it's, he literally says old man, and I like to say it like that. That there's this old man that's in me that I've got to make him shut up because he'll take me down the wrong path if I listen to him. So, by the way, how many of you know about the old man living inside of you? That you're trying to go the Jesus way, but there's an old self that can go the wrong way. Yeah, we know about that old man living inside of us. I mean, we have regeneration by the Holy Spirit, but the struggle with the old man is real. Somebody say, I know that's so. The old man is paranoid, formed by fear and not by faith. That's true. The old man does indeed have a me first, gimme appetite. I know about that. That's in me. I try to keep that down. Try not to go that way, but I know there is a part of me. I call it the old man. Paul calls it the old man, that it has a me first, gimme appetite. The old man is obsessed with us against them, just like the song says. So if our mind is for sale, that's the title of Jack Johnson's song. If our mind is for sale, we will always struggle with the mentality of the old man. So we need to learn that our mind belongs to Christ because it's been bought with a price. Yes. Amen. If we're going to follow Jesus, we can't do it with the mind of the old man. We can't do it with our old ideas, our old ways of thinking. We have to do it with the mind of Christ, which is why the Apostle Paul says we have to renew our mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed, transformed. Don't be pressed. Don't be pressed into the mold of the world. but transcend that. Go through a metamorphosis. Think something else. Don't be twisted out of shape by society's pliers. That's a Dylan line I like. But be renewed in your mind. Paul tells this in a letter he's writing to the church in Rome. We just finished last Sunday that series through the book of Acts, in the very end of the book of Acts. I just called the sermon Rome. Well, Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and he tells them, don't be conformed to the world. For them, that would be the Roman Empire. That was their world. That's the world they're in. He said, don't think like a Roman. Think like a Christian. Don't think like ones that's being shaped in the way you think by the ideals of the Roman Empire. Be shaped by the Sermon on Mount. Be shaped by Jesus. Rome and all empires belong to the fallen world order. A fallen world formed around self-interested acquisition. Me first, gimme, gimme appetite. Us versus them, tribalism, for sure. An obsession with all kinds of power. But most of all, the world that we're not to be conformed to. The old man that we're not to listen to is driven by fear. Fear. Everybody say fear. Fear. That's the problem. I mean, fear. That's what gets us in trouble when we act according to our fears. We have fears. Fear comes to us. We know what that is. But it's when we start acting according to fear. Jeremiah says, if you flee from the fear, you fall into the pit. Think about it this way. If you respond, if the primary principle in your life that's moving your actions is fear, you're not going to go to a good place. You're going to go into a pit. So we're afraid. We're afraid of lack. So we have a gimme, gimme, me first, gimme, gimme appetite. We're afraid of the other. So we get this us versus them thing going. And we're afraid to embrace the vulnerability of love. We're afraid that love is too big a risk. And so we don't go the way of love because it could hurt us. It's a big risk. Well, to be transformed in this world and not conformed to this world is mostly a matter of renewing your mind. It's mostly a matter of renewing your mind from a state of fear to a state of faith. Moving out of fear as your primary impulse into faith. And that's a whole lot of what it means to be a Christian. It's to not be moved by fear, but instead to be moved by faith. We walk by faith. We live by faith. Faith is what we're supposed to be acting from, not fear. I mean, how much sin is rooted in fear? A lot. Maybe more than anything else. Maybe even more than pride. I know there's a lot of sin that comes from pride, but maybe even more from fear. We're afraid that the Imago Dei is not enough for us. Imago Dei, image of God. You're created in the image of God. There's your worth right there. There's your value. You are loved by God. You're created in God's image, but we're afraid that's not enough. That's not enough for identity and for being who we think we're supposed to be. And because we're afraid, we act in ways that lead to trouble. Without faith in God, we capitulate to fear and look elsewhere for our security. If we don't really think we can trust God, we'll say it. You know, put it on our money and all that, which is almost hysterical. I mean, it's funny. It's like, we really are putting our faith in money, but let's just pretend that we're putting our faith in God. In God we trust. If we don't really trust God, but we really more trust money or weapons or whatever it is we're trusting, that's when we are being moved by fear, and that leads to trouble. Without faith in God, we capitulate to fear and look elsewhere for our security. So it turns into in money we trust, or in weapons we trust, or in tribalism we trust. That's the unrenewed mind that leads us to trouble. That's the old man. To renew the mind is to center our thinking in faith and not fear. Now, there's a spiritual exercise that I practice every day. I've taught it to you before. You probably forgot about it. This is what I do. I do this every day. I do it in the morning. I do this every day. It's part of my time in prayer. And I say this. I say, I am calm. I am content. I am wise. I am unafraid. This is who I am. This is my true self. I'm not agitated, grasping, foolish, or fearful. That's not who I am. That's a false self. I am calm. I've calmed my soul like a weaned child with its mother. I'm content. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I am wise, for the Lord teaches me truth in the secret heart. I'm unafraid. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, still I shall be confident. I am calm. I am content. I am wise. I'm unafraid. Now, I do that every morning. That's how I shut up the old man that lives in me. The old man certainly is grasping, agitated, foolish, and fearful. But I'm not going to live out of that. I'm going to live out of the true self, the new self created in Christ. And so I activate that by the words, I'm calm, content, wise, unafraid. It's good spiritual exercise. Now, we heard Jack Johnson's song, My Mind is for Sale. Now, I want us to look at another song. And this song is not from the past year. In fact, this song is almost 2,000 years old. It's found in Philippians. It's thought to be the oldest Christian song we have, which I think is very cool. I mean, Christians have been doing music from the very beginning. This is the oldest song. Now, the Psalms are older, right? The Psalms, but I'm talking about a Christian song. That is a song that is inspired by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The oldest one we have the lyric. We don't have the notation because musical notation would not be invented for many more centuries. When monks began to do it, began to figure out ways to make notation so they could do their chants just so. So we don't know what the music was like, but we have the lyrics. So in the book of Philippians, Paul puts it in there. He probably didn't write it, but he knew this song because he went to church. And he learned this song in church. And he put it in his letter to the Philippians. That's how come we have it. It's a song that has two stanzas. And the first stanza is about the descent of Christ. That is, Jesus coming as, you know, from the Father down into humanity, down into the world, down into death. The second stanza is the ascent of Christ, being exalted and raised to the Father and to lordship over all. And so, the opening line of the hymn says, let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ. So, we're talking about the mind this morning. Jack Johnson's song is, My Mind is for Sale, and he knows that there are things that appeal to all that is worst within us, to fear, to hatred, to tribalism, to us versus them. And if our mind is for sale, somebody's going to pay the price to manipulate our mind according to our fears. The scripture says, no. Don't do that. You're bought with a price. Your mind belongs to Jesus. Let this mind, let the mind of Christ be in you. Let this mind be in you that was also in Jesus. Well, here's the lyrics to the song. The song goes like this. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ, who though he was God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, and was born as a human being. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's the first stanza. And it's The theme of the song is, we want you to think like Jesus. And how did he think? And he goes down, he empties himself, he's obedient, he's in the form of a human like a slave, even down in his down, death. And then the second stanza, therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's a good song. That's a good song. That's a good song. Eric, you're going to have to put some music to that or something. And, you know, I know it doesn't rhyme very well. You may have to, play with it a little bit. But I think we're going to have to sing this old song. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ, who though he was God. I mean, who is Jesus? He's the Word, the Logos, the logic of God. God's own understanding of God's self. God's reflection upon his own being. The idea, the Logos, the logic of God becomes a human being. So Jesus is very God of very God, as the Nicene Creed says. Jesus is God. But though he was God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. So we see God. If we want to know what God is like, we look at Jesus, right? God is like Jesus. God has always been like Jesus. Never been a time when God wasn't like Jesus, but we didn't always know it. Now we do. If we want to know what God is like, we look at Jesus. And when Jesus becomes human, he is not exploiting his godness. He's not leveraging his godness to be great. I mean, he certainly could have, but he doesn't. In other words, think about all of his miracles. There's not a selfish miracle in the bunch. They're always giving miracles. They're miracles for someone else. They're miracles to rescue somebody else. They help somebody else, to provide for somebody else. When he's by himself in the wilderness, he doesn't turn the stones into bread. But when he's with a multitude of other people, he multiplies the loaves and fishes, as we heard this morning. So he gives. The second temptation was to use God powers selfishly. Throw yourself off the pinnacle of the temple and let the angels catch you. Even though he was God. And by the way, keep in mind, the whole point of this song is to tell the Christian, we want you to think like this. We want you to have the mind of Christ, who, although he was God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself. He pours out, he empties them. This is such an important concept in Christian understanding that there's a whole branch of theology that deals with this called kenosis. Kenosis is the Greek word to empty. He emptied himself. He engaged in a kenotic way of life. That is a pouring out. You know, there's kind of two ways to go through life. You can go through life with a me first, gimme appetite. You know, trying to get. That's, by the way, that's the way most people go through life. Give me. I want, collect, I want to have, I want to acquire, I want to get this. The other way is the Jesus way. It's kenotic, it's giving. Go through life and give. That's the lesson that's in our gospel reading this Sunday. That Jesus draws upon the beauty of the infinite that is God. And he knows that we don't live in a zero-sum, zero-based, limited world. We think we do. That's our fear speaking. But we are connected with God, who is limitless. And we can afford to always be pouring out, always giving. He emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave. He was born as a human being. So Jesus is very God of very God, but he's also fully human. Not like one of us, he is one of us. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. So when we look at Jesus, we see two things simultaneously. We see what God is like, and we also see what human beings are supposed to be like. Because, see, we're created to be in the image of God. And so how should we live life? Well, you have to have a model. You have to have a model. Rene Girard taught us it's all about imitating one another. You have to have, so pick your model wisely. Who do we pick? We pick Jesus. Say, I want to be like that. That's why we call ourselves Christians. Because we're trying to be like Jesus Christ. We're Jesusites. We're little Jesuses. That's what we're aspiring to. And so he was born as a human being, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And the cross is the only theodicy. The theodicy is the attempt. How do we reconcile that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, and yet babies get cancer? And there's all manner of evil in the world. How do you reconcile that? The only attempt that I know of that the Bible itself makes is to simply say, we're not alone in it. I think freedom necessitates the possibility of all kinds of suffering, but God doesn't stand aloof and apart and say, well, good luck. God says, no, I will join you in it. I will fully participate in suffering with you and open the door to a world beyond death. Amen. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in three worlds, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, angels, humans, demons, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's a song that needs to be in us. It's a song that will renew our mind. Let the same mind that was in Jesus be in you. And what is that kind of mind? It's a humble mind. It's a self-giving, a giving mind. It's the mind of co-suffering love that takes up the cross. It's the mind that's not afraid of suffering loss. Because this is the mind that trusts in God, the God who causes all things to work together for good. Paul also says that in Romans, that God causes all things to work together for good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. Do you love God? Yes. Do you believe that there's a purpose for your life that comes from God and God is trying to bring you into it? All right, go with that. Go with that. And God will cause all things to work together for good. God doesn't cause all things. All kinds of bad things will come. But God is able, over the period of a lifetime, to take everything that comes, not just the good, but even the bad, weave it together in such a way that the whole thing becomes a tapestry of grace. So that there's a single thread might be a very awful thread, a moment, an event, an experience in life, but God takes it. He doesn't take it away. He takes it and says, okay, this bad thing has happened, but watch how I'm going to weave it into your life. I didn't send this to you. Chance, whatever. I mean, however evil comes to us, it came. But I'm going to take this and I'm going to weave it into your tapestry, into your story in such a way that in the long run, when the whole story is told, you'll say it's all beautiful. Because God worked all things together for good. What is it? That's the mind of faith. That's not the mind. That's the opposite of fear. So you say, well, of course bad things will happen. Yes, of course. And you say, but if I love, I'll be taken advantage of. Well, of course you will be. And if I love, I'll be hurt. Of course you will be. But God will work with that in a way that will make your life beautiful. And in the end, you'll have no regrets. I promise you that when a life has been fully lived, no one says, I regret that I loved so much. No one says, I regret that I gave so much. I regret that I trusted God. No one says that. Plenty of people will say, I regret that I was so selfish, that I was so centered, that my whole life was formed around me first, gimme, gimme appetite, and my us versus them mentality. There'll be a lot of regret for that. So we're renewing our mind. We're praying that the mind, let's just pray right now. Lord, we pray that the mind of Christ would be formed within us. Lord, we're given the mind of Christ because Jesus has been raised and His Spirit inhabits us. But Lord, we don't always activate that mind. And so we choose to lean toward, to be biased toward the mind of Christ. Yes, I pray again, Lord Jesus, help us to see the world the way You see it. Let us see the world through Your eyes of compassion and mercy and love. Lord, help us to think what You think. May Your thoughts find residence within our own mind. Help us to believe what You believe. We don't want to just believe what we want to believe. We want to believe what You believe, Jesus. Help us to believe what You believe so that ultimately, when we see as You see and think as You think and believe as You believe, we can act as You act within this world. Amen and amen. I got all that from Jack Johnson and a little bit of help from Paul. Amen. Stand with me. We're going to come to the table of the Lord, which means we're going to come to Jesus. We're going to come to Jesus. We're in the mystery of the faith Jesus offers us in the form of bread and wine. He offers us His body and blood, that is, His life, so that we can think His thoughts and believe what He believes, see the world the way He sees, and then go be His flesh and blood presence in the world. Amen? We're going to confess our sin together and receive forgiveness from the Lord, and then come to the table. Pray with me. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved You with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in Your will and walk in Your ways, to the glory of Your name. Amen. And this is the table, not of the church, but of the Lord. It is made ready for those who love Him and for those who want to love Him more. So come, you who have much faith and you who have little, you who have been here often and you who have not been here long, you who have tried to follow and you who have failed, come, because it is the Lord who invites you. It is His will that those who want Him should meet Him here. Amen.